Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, I'm really excited to share the word for our Spirit-Led Life series. I'm so excited. I'm so blessed by the series. Who's been blessed by the series? I don't know about you, but this series has really blessed me. And I was telling Pastor Sonia about this. I love series like this, especially long series for our church, because why? It gives us a good spiritual diet. It's not just one random, or it's not random, it's Holy Spirit led, but it's not one different topic after the other on a different Sunday, but we're on this journey together. And I love this Spirit-led series because it's given us three emphases, as Pastor Sonia mentioned. One, the first emphasis is that the Spirit-led life leads us upwards into communion with God. It leads us upwards into ministering the Lord. It leads us upwards into worshiping God. And the second emphasis, which is the emphasis that we're here now in week 4, 5, and 6, the Spirit-led life leads us inward into transformation to becoming more like Christ. It leads us, it transforms us. And then the last emphasis that we'll be doing in the next few weeks is outward, where the Holy Spirit leads us outward to love other people, to love our neighbors, to serve other people. Is that cool? And today we're focusing on, like I said, the inward and how the Spirit leads us into becoming more like Christ. So we're now in our week 5, I think we are in. And so if you've missed a few Sundays, I encourage you to check the podcast. But today, I want to share with you a scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. I'll be reading from the ESV version, the extra special version. Amen. It says this. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Everybody say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, church. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Who's getting a bit uncomfortable right now just reading? Rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, tough word. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Pneuma Church, I want to speak to you from the title of Cultivating Christlikeness. Cultivating Christlikeness. Turn to the person next to you and say, be like Christ. Be like Christ. And I want to give us a bit of context, a bit of overview, a bit of background on Galatians. You see, Galatians is a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul, written to the Galatian churches. It was a response to what was happening in the Galatian churches. Because although Christianity began as a Jewish messianic movement in Jerusalem, how many of us know, church, that the gospel message, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gift of salvation, is not just for the Jewish community, but for all humanity. It's for all humanity. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world didn't say, for God so loved just the Jewish community. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, that's you and I, it's all of us, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so Christianity grew. It grew beyond the borders of Jerusalem. The disciples were doing what they were supposed to do. They were being witnesses in Jerusalem. They were being witnesses in Judea. They were being witnesses in Samaria. And they were being witnesses to the ends of the earth. And this gospel, Pneuma Church, traveled all the way to a place called Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. And by the time this letter was written, there were just as many Gentile believers, Gentile meaning non-Jews, okay, as there were Jewish believers in the Christian community. So Christianity grew. It's not just within the Jewish community anymore, okay? And because there was a difference in nationality, because there was a difference in customs, because there was a difference in culture, it sparked a conflict within the Christian community. Because historically, yes, the covenant people of God were of one nation, the Israelites, the Israel, the Jewish community, and they were set apart by the laws that was given to them. They were set apart by the commandments that was given to them. They would practice things like circumcision. They would practice things like eating kosher, which forbids them from eating pork and shell food, or these things that they call unclean food. They would observe things like the Sabbath. All these things they practice to identify their covenant with God. And in Galatians, these Jewish Christians believe that for the Gentile Christians to be part of God's covenant family, to be justified, to be really saved, to be truly right standing with God, these Gentile Christians must also practice and obey the laws in the Torah. And some Gentiles actually followed and did that. And so when Paul hears this, he writes this letter in response to that, because this is now a completely different teaching from what Paul has taught them. This is now a completely different gospel from what was taught to them in the beginning. Are we getting it so far? Are we? Cool. He begins in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 saying, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ that you are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there is one who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. The NLT version says this, I am shocked, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Galatians chapter 2, 16 says this, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also believe in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Verse 17 goes on to say, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Other translation pretty much says, if we have faith in Christ and we are justified because we abandon the law and we are found guilty, does that mean Christ is also guilty? Does that mean Christ led us to sin? Certainly not, says Paul. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For the law, I died to the law so that I may live to God. And verse 20 goes on to say, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. And for the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And so in these verses, Paul tells us that we are justified not by our own works. We are justified not by our own accomplishments. We're justified not by our own efforts, but by having faith in Christ Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen, church? Paul goes on to say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, NLT version, what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God make the Gentiles right in his sight. Why? Because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations, the Filipinos, the Latinos, the Samoans, the Australians, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of their faith. Because of their faith. Verse 11 says this, so it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. Verse 13, but Christ rescued us from this curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the cross for our wrongdoing. It is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, which is us, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that whoever are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Amen. And so Paul reminds us that those who put their faith in Christ Jesus is made right with God. Paul reminds us that those who put their faith in Christ Jesus are justified. Those who put their faith in Christ Jesus have received the gift of salvation. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you live in Jerusalem or Galatia. It doesn't matter if you live in Werribee. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins, let me tell you something. You are saved, church. You are saved. Come on. But the big question that Paul's opponents might ask is, or might argue, is that how then will the Gentile Christian live according to God's will without the Torah's guidance? If they are saved by grace, if the law is not required for them to be justified, how are they to live a life of sanctification? How are they to live a life of repentance? How are they to live a life of consecration without the commands? This is a question for us as well. And the question I have for this series is, how can we live a life that cultivates Christ-likeness? And the answer Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 is the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. Transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. Because a Spirit-led life is more than just being slain in the Spirit, church. It's more than just carpet time. It's more than just speaking in tongues. Don't get me wrong, you get the tongues from me. You'll get that. But a Spirit-led life is also a life of transformation into becoming more like Christ. If we really behold the one who we worship, then we should become more like Christ. And if we are to be people in Pneuma Church who cultivate Christ-likeness, we have to be people, number one, who walk by the Spirit. Who walk by the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. How many of us know that being patient is hard? Can I be real in my family? Can I be real in this house? Being patient is hard. Especially when you go to see a GP. You book a time. 2 p.m. How long? Not long. 1 hour later, I'm still waiting. Right? Has that happened to you before? Or is it just me? How many of us know it's that being kind is tough? Especially when someone's rude to you. I don't want to be kind to that person. That person was rude to me, man. I'm not going to pray for that person. How many of us know, can agree that being joyful is challenging? Especially when something tragic happened in your world. How many of us can agree that having self-control is difficult? Am I speaking to somebody? You're at a restaurant trying to lose weight. You're on all you can eat. And you eat all you can. You're trying to track calories. You're on a surplus. It's hard. Self-control is hard. How many of us know self-control is hard on the road? Do we have any road rages here? Any road rages here? Let me tell you, Vanya, the one who did communion here, my wife, she's not here. She's in kids' church. She may be a small girl. But let me tell you, if you cut her off, she'll start a fight with you. She'll pull beside you, roll her window down. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing, mate? It's Vanya. She's here. Oh, Jesus loves you. But on the road, let me tell you, she's a whole nother. How many of us can agree that Christ-likeness is almost impossible through human effort alone? But that's what's so powerful about this text in Galatians chapter 5. Because Paul is not telling us to try harder. He's telling us to walk by the Spirit. Jesus says it like this, abide in me, remain in me. He tells us that if we want to live a life that cultivates Christ-likeness, if we want to live a life that reflects the character of Christ, we must submit to the Holy Spirit's leadership. We must allow the Holy Spirit lead us, or else we'll go out of control. Yeah? We must allow the Spirit to lead us into transforming us into becoming more like Christ. We must submit to the Holy Spirit's leadership so we can also overcome the desires of our flesh. A commentary from H.B. Charles Jr. says this, the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. The flesh and the spirit are in constant conflict. The flesh and the spirit are in constant conflict. And Paul tells us that in this text, that if we are to cultivate Christ's likeness, we must walk by the Spirit. And the word walk in Greek is the word peripateo. Everybody say peripateo. And it simply means to walk. It does simply mean to walk. But it also means to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. Okay? And so to walk by the Spirit simply means to live your life and behave in a way that is led by the Holy Spirit. To regulate one's life and conduct oneself according to the Holy Spirit. To conduct yourself according to the Holy Spirit. It's not about how you act on Sunday. It's how you conduct yourself on Monday. It's not about how you act on Sunday. It's how you respond on Wednesday. It's how you show up on Friday. It's how you talk on Saturday. How do you speak to your spouse? How do you respond when someone disrespects you? How do you handle pressure? Do you go fits of anger? How do you behave when nobody's watching? Kenneth Burding, in this book, Walking by the Spirit, he says it like this. Walking in the Spirit is the central metaphor for describing what it means to live as a Christian life. Life according to the Spirit is not simply trying to do the right thing, nor is it simply trying to live according to God's law, but life as a Christian is cooperating with the Holy Spirit in a daily walk. And so walking by the Spirit is not a behavior modification. It's not about doing more. It's not about checking off a list, but it's an inward transformation. It's where we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into shaping us, into molding us, into becoming more like Christ. It's where we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And as we walk by the Spirit, as we live a life according to the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And this fruit that Paul is talking is a singular word. It's not fruits, it's fruit. And so love cannot be without patience. Patience cannot be without goodness. Goodness cannot be without gentleness. They're all together, okay? And as we bear the fruit, we reflect the character of Christ. That's how the Spirit leads us. We reflect the character of Christ as we bear fruit. We cultivate Christ's likeness as we walk by the Spirit. Amen? You don't cultivate Christ's likeness by pretending to be Christ-like. You cultivate Christ's likeness by walking with the one who makes you like Christ. You walk by the Spirit. Amen. Not only that, but if we are to reflect the character of Christ in our lives, if we are to cultivate Christ's likeness, number two, we must crucify the flesh. We must crucify the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 says this, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 24 goes on to say that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We cannot live a life that reflects the character of Christ if we're always living in sin, church. If we're always living in sin. If we're always to choose to live in sin. If we're always living in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 tells us this, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know about you, church, but throughout my faith journey, the hardest battles I face is not so much the people that I encounter. It is not so much the season or the circumstance that I'm facing. But the hardest battles that I face is actually with myself. It's with my flesh. And if you want to live a life that cultivates Christ's likeness, we must crucify the flesh. We must wage war within the sinful desires within us. We must wage war. We must kill it, church. And we can only do that by the empowering and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 6 tells us this, "For the mind set on the flesh is death." Is death. And this is not just talking about physical death. This is also talking about spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Is spiritual death simply means to be separated away from God. Eternal separation from God. Now, I don't know about you, church, but I don't want to be separated from God. I don't want to be separated from God. I want to be with God. Just like the song we sang earlier. How does it go again, Pastor? "I just want to be where you are." Thank you. Beautiful. I'll audition next week. I don't want to be separated from God. We got to crucify our flesh, church. We must wage war within our sinful desires and our passion. Romans 8:13 says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The only way to kill our fleshy desires, the only way to kill our sinful desires is through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us, church, don't let your sinful desires lead you to your destruction. Don't let your sinful desires lead you to your destruction. Because if we continue to intentionally sin against God, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's eternal separation. That spiritual death. And so we must allow the Holy Spirit, church, to lead us and convict us of our sins that we are intentionally committing. We are intentionally committing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not within us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Psalm 32 says this, starting from verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Goes on to say, "Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found." Church, I want to ask us the question, what are some things that we need to surrender to the Lord? While He may be found. While we still have time. We have to have a sense of urgency within us. What are some things that we need to surrender to the Lord? What are some sins or some habits that we need to confess to our God? I want to encourage us. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Don't let the enemy take a hold of you, church. Don't let the guilt weigh you down. Give it to the Lord. Receive His mercy, church. Receive His love. Receive His kindness. Receive His forgiveness. Come on, church. Our God is a loving Father. Run to His love. I mentioned it before. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came to give life and life abundantly. God doesn't want to just give you a life. He wants to give you a life abundantly, church. Come on. God has more for you. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We cannot do this on our own strength. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to crucify the flesh. And to crucify the flesh simply means to refuse to allow the sinful desires to lead us. The flesh must be denied and the Spirit must be obeyed. Is helping anybody? Here's what we know so far. To cultivate Christ-likeness, number one, we need to walk by the Spirit. Christ-likeness is not about trying harder. It's not about behavior modification. But it's about us submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit transforms us from the inside out. And as we walk by the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit that reflects the character of Christ. Number two, we need to crucify the flesh. You have to understand that there's always a constant conflict between flesh and spirit. We cannot cultivate Christ-likeness while allowing sinful desire to rule our lives. We must surrender to the Holy Spirit. We must confess. We must repent. And by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the deeds and the desires of the flesh. And thirdly, if I can get the band to come up. To cultivate Christ-likeness is to continue to keep in step with the Spirit. To continue to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 tells us this. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Church, we know that in order to be made right with God, it simply means to have faith in Christ Jesus. That as soon as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been made justified. It is all done through the works of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are saved, we are justified, not because of our own works, but because of Christ Jesus. But church, our sanctification requires our participation. It requires our surrender and trust. And God graciously sanctifies us by His Spirit. And sanctification simply means to become more like Christ by the power and the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And sanctification, Pneuma Church, is not just a one-day event, but it's a lifelong journey. It's a daily commitment. If we are to cultivate Christ's likeness in our lives, it requires us not just to walk by the Spirit, but to keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step with the Spirit. It requires a daily commitment that says, Lord, today I follow you. It requires a daily commitment that says, Lord, today I choose you. Keeping in step with the Spirit means to continually align our lives to Him. It means to walk in line with the Spirit. And as we continue to keep in step with the Spirit, we continue to produce fruit that reflects the character of Christ. We begin to live a life that cultivates Christ's likeness.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.